to the Mystery Twins Detective Agency. I'm Liam S. Smith, and I'm married to the Force.
I'm Regan Lloyd, and I'm gonna harpoon ya.
Oh, right. Easy.
Literally, I just said to Liam on our Skype call, oh god, I never think of anything for the intro, and then he started counting down to record.
Sometimes you just have to go by the seat of your pants, and apparently...
And apparently the seat of my pants is...
murder.
Rotten to the core.
Yeah.
Yep.
So today we watched episode 2 of Death in Paradise.
Under duress, as you may recall from last
Any
week.
Any preliminary thoughts?
It was better than the first episode.
Agreed.
I will give it that. So much drama, a lot less methodical walking us through.
Yeah, and now that we actually have our regular buddy pair, they were sort of working, the dynamic was there.
Yeah, which is what we love in a buddy cop
exactly,
show.
Exactly, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Well, who are our persons of interest this week?
Our persons of interest in this week's episode are, of course, Ben Miller.
Is it persons or people in this, which is grammatically
persons.
Correct? Okay.
Ben Miller as Detective Inspector Richard Poole and Sarah Martins as DS Camille Bordy as our protagonists. Assisted by Fidel and Dwayne, who actor names I didn't get.
Rude.
But whatever, they're not the main protagonists, they're associate protagonists.
No, that's true.
So, as I said last week when I argued to you that we should do this episode, this is a wedding murder episode. And our victim is...
Nothing more dramatic than a wedding murder.
Yeah. It's every little girl's dream to be murdered at her wedding.
Oh, God.
Our victim is Charlotte Salt as Lisa Watson, the bride. Our suspects are basically everyone she ever knew.
Yeah, that checks out. Well, at least they had a destination wedding, so there were only 6 of them.
True.
8 of them.
But also
and
all
not
the hotel
200
staff
guests.
We meet.
That's true, and there are many.
Yeah. The 6 family members who are suspects are... Oh, no, 5 family members and 1 staff member who are prime suspects. Robert Pugh as Mike Watson, her father, who seems like probably the nicest person among them.
Mm.
Frances Barber as Diane Watson, her stepmother, who just seems like a real stone-cold piece of trash.
Real evil stepmother trope going on here.
And similarly, Alice Henley as Sally Watson, her bitter stepsister.
Understandably bitter, though, I would
say. Yeah, she's had a hard time, as we'll get into.
Then we've also got Adam Fares, the best friend of the groom.
Played by Luke Allen Gale. He's also the best man.
Yes.
Best friend and best man. A winning combination.
We have the groom, obviously.
Matt D'Angelo is Darren Moore.
We have the hunky, possibly Australian?
Yeah, he was Australian.
Surf instructor?
Stefan.
Played
by Dan O'Connor.
Beautiful cleaning staff member, Margot?
Margaret.
Manda.
Played by
Margaret.
Camilla Beeput.
That's a great name.
Beeput? I think I misspelled that. It was... Because I remember thinking it was a strange name. No, yep, Beeput.
Perfect. And William, the butler.
Played by Patterson Joseph, that cool guy that I like.
Yes.
You may know him from Peep Show, That Mitchell and Webb Look, Doctor Who, or Jekyll.
Jekyll?
Like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, starring James Nesbitt.
I don't.
Okay.
But it's fun to pronounce it that
That's
way.
That's the correct pronunciation, and I'm a pedant.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, it's not the correct pronunciation in as it's popularly used, but... That's apparently how it was originally intended.
That's fucking blow my mind.
You're welcome.
Oh my god.
So.
Okay.
Any questions?
Not as yet.
Okay.
Do you have any questions?
You're
sort of running this show, so I'd hope not.
My question to you for...
Yes.
50 points. What is the capital of Florida?
Miami.
Maybe. Could be Orlando. Could be Miami.
I honestly have no idea.
I'll ask Jeeves. Tallahassee.
Are you joking me?
I googled Florida capital and the answer is Tallahassee.
Oh, well, there you go.
We don't know, Jack.
Absolutely not.
So.
How did we get here?
Well, we start with a man swimming in the ocean. It's our man, our best man. I mean, our groom, Matt. No, Darren.
You're doing very
That's
well.
That's his actor's name.
So,
Darren.
The groom, Darren, yep. Comes out of the ocean in a very... Baywatch.
It's very Daniel Craig is James Bond now.
Yes. Yes, that's also a good comparison.
He walks up to his sunbathing GF and they smooch for a bit. And then she's like, oi, because he starts checking out some other woman who walks past.
And she very expositorily says, enough of that. We're getting married. You're mine forever.
Staring into the camera. I will be Basically. With you forever and nothing will ever set us apart. Looks at camera. Till death do us part. Dun dun.
And then...
We get a sort of some shots of their wedding. There's an aria playing. It's a beach wedding. Everyone's wearing white clothes and leis, and it just looks dreadfully summery.
Oh, doesn't it? It's very destination
Betty,
wedding.
Beach wedding thoughts?
When I was little, I used to want a beach wedding because I saw a lot of them when we used to go to Rottnest, which is a little island off the coast of Western Australia. But then I was like, oh boy, no, I don't like the beach that much. I just liked the aesthetic, but now I'm, no.
I don't want to get married somewhere I can't wear shoes.
Yeah, I don't want to get, like, I wouldn't want to ruin a dress with sand.
I don't want bare feet around at my wedding because feet are gross.
Especially mine. I don't like ballet ruined my feet.
Oh, no.
I don't want people to be judging me at my wedding.
Oh, mine are just genetically awful.
Oh, no. God.
My feet are immaculate.
Just get a
how dare
podcast
you?
Instagram specifically so we can do things like this. Like, hey, check out our Instagram for pictures of our weird fucked up feet.
I feel like there's a very small but lucrative fetish market for that.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, at the Saint-Marie police station, Richard is leaving. He's hot. He's in a suit still. He's walking through the market and he's being hassled. But Camille is following him.
It's just a fun time to see our uptight police inspector, constable, detective just fish out of water in the market.
Yeah, so he goes to one of the resorts and he pulls out his badge and he's like, I'm a police officer and I want a cup of tea. And he walks past the wedding party as he goes to sit down.
Well, that seems foreshadowy.
He sits down and then Camille storms up and is like, hey, give me your biggest cocktail. Something with an umbrella, with swizzle sticks, set fire to it, put tequila in it, whatever you want.
Fucking like Camille's style, to be honest.
She gets it seems.
She is truly island boy.
Yeah. They're a real odd couple, our white English uptight
man in a suit.
DI and our black French laid back DS.
Yeah, I can never remember anyone's titles, so that's why I just said all of them that I could think of to hedge my bet.
Führer.
So while they're having their... Sorry, that just registered. while they're having their nice cup of tea /cocktail.
Which looks very nice, thank you very much.
It does, yeah. What should we see in the distance but the bride falling out of a fucking window and dying on the
with
rocks?
With screaming.
And as you would expect.
We get a shot of her impaled through the chest by something with her broken body on the ground near the hotel wall. And the camera pans up to her face. And then we cut to the cheery credits.
Oh, I specifically noted that down because I could not believe how funny it was.
I mean, I would throw shade at it, but I think our podcast kind of survives the same dynamic, so I can't really.
Well, yeah, that's true.
The credits are still very fun, though.
They are. It's very like boop, 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 boop. That's probably not the tune, but it's that sort of vibe if you haven't watched it.
Yeah.
You're fucking welcome. We proceed with our investigation because that's what we're here for. We got to find out who did the murder.
Yes.
So we're in the hotel because obviously that's where she got murdered. So yes, you would start there.
Yeah. They...
Conveniently for us, they had a whole floor.
I guess that would
out.
Make sense. It was like, it wasn't like a whole public access floor. It was like... sort of a resort floor sort of thing, wasn't it? I got the impression there was sort of like a lot of open spaces that they could communally all access.
Oh, right, okay.
So, Richard swans in and Camille starts talking and he's like, no, 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 shh, because he's a prat.
Yeah, he's literally the worst.
He's like, so we need to find out what she was shot with. And she says, oh, maybe it was a spear gun. Maybe it was this color and this model. And he says, how did you know that? And she says, it's over here. I found it because I'm a good detective.
Like, yes, you are, but also you didn't find it. You just saw it on the ground.
I mean, he didn't see it on the ground.
That's also a good point.
He's too busy shushing everyone.
Fucking shushes. Ugh. Don't get me started on people who shush people.
The room she fell out of wasn't the bridal suite. It was a room that was vacant at the time and no one knows why she was in there. And the only way, they established that the only way up and down from the floor is a lift with a CCTV camera in it because the stairs to the floor are for emergency access only and they are alarmed. And I quite liked the bit they did there.
Me too.
Where,
So the bit was that the guy...
Patterson Joseph is the butler on the floor and he was there showing them around. And Richard's like,
yes.
Can anyone use these stairs?
And he's like, no, they're alarmed.
But are they?
And so Richard bursts open the doors and there is no alarm. For about a second and then it starts. It's a great takedown.
So then Camille pulls him aside into the vacant room and is like, I am a detective sergeant in the police force. I graduated top of my class, have been commended for bravery and shot twice, and I could beat you up. Treat me with the respect I'm due.
Which I appreciated.
Yeah. They don't like
she
each
ain't
other,
wrong.
But they're going to work together,
but
like it or not.
By God, they've got to work together to get a murder solved.
Yeah. So They want to track down the source of this spear gun. Oh, they also interview the family and establish that everyone was in their rooms.
This is also where we find out that Diane is her stepmother, not her real mother.
And that...
And her stepsister is shady.
And she is moody. She's like, why are you here interviewing us? Shouldn't you be out there finding the real killer? And Diane says, it was probably a madman or a disgruntled hotel staff.
Like, why would disgruntled hotel staff just be like, oh yeah, I'm going to murder this bride. Idiot.
I don't know, Regan. Why would a disgruntled hotel staff member commit murder?
Well, God, I don't know. Maybe we'll find out later in the episode.
So.
Where are we going to get a spear gun in the Caribbean?
Turns out, the hotel has a...
From the hot diving instructor.
Yeah, has a diving school with a hot diving instructor from Australia. Stefan.
And he...
is a prick.
Yeah, like, is he? Or did I just...
I think he is. He was blueballing their investigation for this whole scene.
Oh, yeah, that's true. He's just like, oh, yeah, I'll do tomorrow.
Yeah, we do have spear guns here, but I can't confirm if one of ours is missing until tomorrow because someone could be in the shop. And I can't confirm if I took Lisa diving ever in the 3 days she's been here until tomorrow.
Don't be a dickhead, sir.
Yeah, Camille kind of butters him up and gives her his number. Reverse those genders.
And yet, she gave him Richard's number as a fun prank.
I thought that was just banter.
No, I think she looked smug enough that she was like,
oh, okay. So they examine the CCTV in the elevator.
This was a very dull scene, I think.
Yeah, you think so? Elaborate.
Well, it was like, let's watch a CCTV. Great, the whole wedding party's in the lift. The whole wedding party's left the lift. Now someone's in the lift. Let's rewind it. Let's keep going. Okay, now they're all back in the lift. Like,
zoom and enhance to see that the bride very obviously raises her hand to her mouth to the best man's ear and whispers something.
Exactly. It was stupid.
The important thing it establishes, though, is that around the time of the murder, the maid leaves, but too early to have committed it. And then no one uses the lift until the murder's discovered and all six people still on the floor pile on in.
Which gives us a locked hotel floor mystery.
Kind of.
At the very least, it narrows down the suspect pool to something a bit more manageable for an hour-long TV show.
Yeah. The family members plus... William, the butler. It was weird when they introduced him and he was like, I'm the butler on this floor, hello.
That was weird, yeah.
That's what made me think it had to be some sort of communal resort floor that they had, you know, you buy as a package all the time.
Oh, right, that makes sense,
why
yeah.
Would the floor just have a butler, you know? Is that a thing that happens in rich hotels?
I wouldn't know, to be honest.
And he goes into their room and makes cocktails for them.
Did he go into their room? Or I thought there was like a little separate...
He was in their room because they couldn't leave the room without going past him, and that's how they establish alibis.
Oh, that's fucking weird.
Yeah.
Like, please make me a cocktail elsewhere and then bring it to me.
That's what they call room service, right?
Exactly.
Not room service, come into my room and perform the service.
Yeah, that's too much. I don't like it.
So we establish that this is actually the alibi establishing scene now. The stepmother saw her lying on the rocks and started screaming. That's how everyone became aware that there was a murder. Everyone claims they were in their rooms, but pointedly, stepsister Sally does it for best man Adam, and he doesn't contradict her.
I did not notice it being that pointed, to be honest.
No, but I did notice that she was speaking for three other people or so. When she was like, I was in my room, he was in his room, he was in his room, go get out there and find the murderer.
Right, right, right.
So we learned that the reason that Lisa was in the vacated room is because the maid, Margaret, let her in.
And Margaret has been in trouble before.
Yeah.
For letting people into rooms.
William the butler doesn't like her at all.
Yeah, so she, you know, didn't want to bring it up, but now there's been a murder, so she has to.
And meanwhile, Richard is obsessing over this cleaning in progress sign that was left on the door. And Camille is like, you are so uptight. It was probably just a clerical error. And he was like, that's unacceptable.
No, there are no errors, only coincidences. No.
There are only coincidences. Case closed.
Yeah, it's like you solve a murder. Everything's just a coincidence until you go j'accuse. And then someone's like, oh, you got me.
I love it how in murder mysteries, everything happens with a purpose. I'm not just going out to have a cigarette on the balcony because I want to have a cigarette. I'm going out there to secretly confront the man who's blackmailing my wife.
Exactly. But then I guess it would be really dull if everything was just a red herring.
Yeah.
And then at the end they were like, oh yeah, we actually, don't worry. We did it, but you couldn't guess
along
with us. It
was the Joker.
What happened next? I said I took notes, but I lied.
They interview Margaret and she establishes that William is always on her case and that Margaret suspects that Lisa was meeting someone in the vacated room because she's worked in a hotel for a long time and she knows the look.
Now that is fucking conjecture. And I don't know why they put so much faith
in it. Expert testimony.
Yeah, it was very weird. Yeah.
But then this was a great scene. We go back to the police station, and because they don't have a database, Ben pulls out the evidence whiteboard.
I also love the evidence whiteboard because it reminded me of those logic puzzles that you do where it's like, Kath lives in a purple house and Bob lives in a green house, but he doesn't live next door to Jane, who lives in a yellow house. So who lives in the orange house? And then you have like the little grid and you have to cross-reference everything to figure out the color of it. I fucking love them so much.
So he...
If someone wants to buy me just a book of those sort of puzzles...
Or lure you into some sort of deadly game of cat and mouse about them.
I'd be very grateful.
So he draws up four columns on this whiteboard. He's got the suspects and a picture of the suspects in each column of that. Then means, motive, and opportunity. And they're trying to tick it off on the person who they think will do it.
Obviously tantamount to our case. Is that a word?
Yep.
Tantamount?
I don't know if it's relevant in this context you're saying because you haven't finished the sentence, but...
Is that we need a motive.
Yep.
So because she was obviously going to meet someone in the room based on our expert testimony... And she whispered something to the best man in the lift. They were obviously about to bone.
Clearly. Fidel is skeptical that anyone would have a motive because they're a family and a wedding party and they're in love. But Richard's pretty insistent that it has to be one of them.
And like, bless Fidel, because someone's got to keep thinking that there's good in the world.
But basically, just in this scene, they establish they don't really know enough yet.
Yeah, but, you know, pop on down to the best man, see what he's about.
But they decide to clock off for the day. Richard makes some parting remark about how back in London they would have a night team to go and do fingerprint analysis and stuff, which becomes relevant later. And then they just clock off, and Camilla and Richard are walking home together, and Camilla is trying to banter with him. She says, the butler did it. It's always the butler. And Richard says, why? It doesn't make any sense. What possible motive would he have? And she says, you don't really do banter, do you?
Much like us. So then we have a nice little Richard and the Lizard scene again.
Oh, not quite yet. First, Camille has a date.
God, does she?
Yeah.
Did I just miss a whole...
It's with Australia.
All of Australia at one time.
Stefan.
Yeah, I know. God. All right, so they're on a date. What happens?
He gives them the information that he told them he wouldn't have until tomorrow. And she says that, like, oh, you are a cliche, the flirtatious diving instructor. And he says, actually, I have a girlfriend. I'm just trying to help out the police. And he storms off.
Oh, stick it to him, Stephen.
Stephen?
What's his name?
Stefan.
I was close. Also, I do not remember that scene happening at all. So that's very weird.
She returns to Richard, who's waiting in the car in the car park. And she says, do you really think if it was a real date, I'd leave you sitting in the car park? He's lying about something. And they go get a drink at Camille's mother's restaurant, and he slags off the French while she's right there because he's talking about their bad tea. But then he turns out he loves her tea.
And he also loves her mum, so that's good. Does he? I don't know. It seemed like he was like, nothing to make your working relationship weird than dating your co-worker's mum.
Yeah. So then Richard goes home and we get a little lizard vignette as he's pretending to burst into rooms with spear guns, I think.
Now, if you haven't watched the show, good job. You've saved yourself some time. Think about the squirrel from Ice Age.
Scratch.
It's that sort of like, yeah, it's that sort of pointless little interlude that the lizard is constantly. I love it.
Yeah, I didn't realize the lizard was going to be a recurring character last week.
I know, we should have put him on our persons of interest list.
The lizard did it. He was like, I'll get you, Spider-Man. Comic jokes.
So we start investigating Stefan.
Stefan? Stefan, the Australian?
Yeah.
That's how people from Australia talk.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Oh, it's the next day. They've pulled up the records on the various party, and none of them have any real criminal records of note. But Fidel is sleeping in the office, and Richard's really angry about it.
But then it turns out he's sleeping because he was up all night fingerprinting everyone in the hotel, fingerprinting the gun, using a magnifying glass, and figuring out whose fingerprints matched.
Yeah, Richard is, like, duly impressed, as he should be. He's like, Fidel, you genius. And it turns out Stefan is the only one who's touched the spear gun. Or rather, to be more accurate, he's the only one with fingerprints on the spear gun.
So, first suspect, any.
Yeah, but how would he have gotten up to the room then? That's the question.
I mean, that's a good question, and now I don't understand why they were watching him with binoculars except actually perving on women, which was a really gross addition.
That was Dwayne, is it? He's kind of a pervy character, isn't he?
Yeah.
Fidel seems innocent, though. I like him.
Yeah, no, I love Fidel.
And
he's
there
great.
Was that good shot where they were actually just watching him, where they were both just eating ice cream as well.
Yeah, it was cute. Have we established the thing about the best man and the money yet?
I think we are just getting to that.
Oh, great. Okay.
They learn that Lisa made a phone call to Adam, the best man's room, from that hotel room just before her death. Speaking to Adam, they learn that they were arranging to meet because he wanted to borrow money from her. Because
he's got a car business, but if he doesn't get 50
what
grand...
What is a quote-unquote car business?
I know, like a used car business.
Detailing.
A mechanics. What?
Chauffeurs. Maybe he's...
It was like you just tried to make up a fake
maybe
job.
Maybe he's John Uber.
Maybe.
So, yeah, we learned that Lisa's dead mum was actually stinking rich.
And therefore, so is Lisa.
But all the money's in a trust that her parents, or dad and stepmom, control until she gets married, which is a weird condition.
That's a very, like, patriarch. Not her 21st birthday or no. anything until she gets married and a man can look after the money for her.
Fucked up.
Super fucked up. So now she's loaded, so that really changes the motive, and then all the attention goes to her husband, because of course you would marry her and then murder her for her riches.
Or maybe, because they don't know what the inheritance situation is, maybe her parents tried to murder her to hang on to the money.
Well, luckily, she signed a prenup, so we know what the money situation is.
Counterpoint, did she sign a prenup? Because they look at the signature box, and instead of signing it, she just wrote, "I'm not signing this, Darren. When do you get, I love you, till death do us part?"
Like, fucking sit down, ma'am. Like, you didn't have to write all of that. You could have just been like... I'm not signing this.
Well, I get the impression her parents were sitting there watching for her to sign. Because
yeah, I know, but that's why she didn't have to write a whole paragraph. Like, if you were watching someone sign it and then they took more than the time it takes to do a scribble, you would be like, what are you doing?
Funny, I don't remember Lisa's signature being that elaborate.
Yeah, I guess she's like drawing a picture on the bottom of the page. Oh, well.
So at this point, Camille thinks that it was the parents, but they speak to the butler and he suggests that maybe Darren has slept with Margaret recently because he overheard them arguing and he thinks he heard her name.
All right, weirdo.
All right.
I don't, like, that just seems like I don't know. I guess they did establish at the study episode that the groom was possibly just a player.
Yeah, yeah. They also, there's a subplot introduced here that doesn't really go anywhere where Sally, the stepsister, was previously engaged to someone, but Diana thought he was after their money, so they offered him money to disappear, and he did. And that's why she's...
Also, like, the detective keeps, every time she says, like, the family money, he's like, Lisa's money. And then they just gloss over it. Like, it was very weird.
I mean, it's not Lisa's money anymore.
But, like, surely when the stepsister was engaged...
Yeah, that's true.
Like, that guy would have had no way to get to Lisa's money.
That's a fair point. I mean, unless they're just generally sort of well off, in addition.
Yeah, possibly.
So, we go to evidence board, scene 2. And this was a fun little scene, I thought.
I don't remember it, so I will confirm or deny
okay,
in a second.
The long and short of it is they establish that anyone could have been willing to kill for the money except for William. And then Camille breaks the pen with her vigorous jabbing at a certain suspect. And then she goes to write something else and is like, oh, this is broken, and throws it away, not having realised that she just broke it.
Oh, bless her. Doesn't know her own strength.
But then there's a phone call. And what happened? There's been another murder.
Holy shit.
Who could it be? Could it be that character we haven't really talked about at all?
You know it could.
Margaret, the cleaning lady.
A character that we talked about so little I actually forgot her name.
So they go to the room and they look at the body and they find one of these little necklace thingies and there's a little flashback to where they found a heap of them. It's Stefan's little beach shack and Camille's like, did you carve these for yourself? And he says, yeah, all of them, mate.
Ooh.
And then that's interesting. And Ben starts looking out the window and there's been this thing that happens probably happened about 5 times this episode where he would look at the sun and the camera would do like a weird pan and it would play like chimes.
Yeah, it was weird.
And it basically looked like he was about to pass out from heat stroke or something.
Yeah, because he'd all be all sweaty as well.
Yeah, and one of those times it cut to him like being served a glass of ice water afterwards.
Yeah, it was very weird.
Yeah, but that teaches him about how when you're looking into the light, it's hard to make out details, and that helps him crack the case.
Yes, it fucking does.
So he tells everyone to gather on the veranda in 11 minutes, and we have a little evidence confrontation.
Sorry, I was just grabbing a water.
Okay.
I'm back. All right. Yes, we have an evidence confrontation.
So first he starts out by needlessly revealing that Sally and Adam were lovers.
Yeah, which doesn't serve anyone at all.
Doesn't help the case, because he knows who did it. But he's like, Sally lied about Adam's whereabouts before because he wasn't in his room. He was in her room because they're in love, but because he's in money trouble, they don't want to tell the parents.
Because if the parents paid off her last fiancé, how would they feel about someone they know is in financial trouble dating her?
Yeah, they'd probably pay someone to murder him.
Well.
Once Stefan arrives, they move from the veranda to the crime scene.
At this point, Lisa's dad very rightfully says, why are you doing all this? Just tell us who murdered our daughter.
That was so good. And I was thinking when they, because they, Fidel and Dwayne went to the beach to go get Stefan. And they just walked up to him like, come with us. And I feel like he could have been very well within his rights to just be like, no, am I under arrest? No.
It also looked like they were just holding his hand.
Yeah.
Like they just sort of sidled up to him and just like linked hands and were like, come on, baby.
He didn't even really need to be there though, because...
He really didn't. It was just for the elaborate show.
Yeah, to keep up the sort of ruse for the show of who will be the murderer. So what happens?
Yes. So once we go into room 502 where the murder took place, Robert closes... Richard. God, what's happened to my brain?
Like Nixon.
Well, I only remembered it was Richard because I was like, his name's Dick Poole.
That's my favourite superhero.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's definitely a porn parody, isn't it? Yeah, so he closes the curtains and then delivers the rest of this speech in like half light.
Yeah.
Great work, everybody.
I didn't actually notice the setup there. I just thought they were closed the whole time, so it was much more effective for me.
Ah, I see. No, he went in there and closed them specifically.
So he talks about how best man Adam and stepsister Sally weren't the only lovers. William was desperately, murderously in love with Margaret, but also hated her.
Because she would bone down with guests William the butler. In spare hotel
guests,
rooms.
Guests, was it, or just her boyfriend, Stefan?
Well, he thought it was guests, but it turns out it was her boyfriend, Stefan.
Yeah. And she would use the cleaning in progress sign to make sure that she was never interrupted.
So then why did William lie about when they said, why is this cleaning in progress sign on the door? And he was like, I don't know.
Because he murdered her.
Well, that's exactly what happened. Except it's not, but it also is.
So the issue that...
Let's break this down for you.
So we go all the way back to establishing alibis, where from the start, William was assumed to be the least suspicious suspect, because why would he kill this bride that he's never met before and he doesn't have any access to way of accessing her money?
Well, exactly.
So because he was in the kitchen and he was probably the most trustworthy alibi-wise, and the kitchen is near the door, they sort of guaranteeing the alibis of Diane and the dad.
So yeah, this was very confusing because it was about like whether you could alibi someone but they can't alibi you because your back was turned, so they could alibi you because you couldn't have left without them seeing, but they could have left without you seeing. And I was like, what is happening?
Diane was on the balcony looking outwards, so she couldn't have alibied William. And the dad was in the bedroom and he doesn't have a line of sight to the door from there, so he couldn't have. So William... He offered everyone cocktails. Then when they all came back up, he saw that there was a cleaning progress sign on that vacant door. So he knew that she was going to be in there boning down. So he put on the cocktail mixer so that to create noise, grabbed the spear gun that he'd hidden in some sort of cleaning cart, and he stole it with his white gloves. And I'm so annoyed I didn't pick up on this because I always suspect gloves when they talk about fingerprints in these shows.
I cannot fucking believe you.
Fuck.
So yeah, basically that's why Stefan's fingerprints were the only ones on the gloves. Yeah. Oh no, yep. On the thingy, Poseidon gun,
yeah.
Harpoon.
And Richard explained this with a very handy little monologue about how the butler is basically invisible and always wears white gloves, so of course he could just go down to the beach and grab it.
Which is not strictly true, is it?
I mean, service staff are generally pretty easily overlooked by just hotel guests and stuff.
I guess, yeah.
And no one would blink an eye at him wearing white gloves because they're part of his uniform.
That's true. That's true.
So?
So the only reason we caught him is because he then murdered Margaret.
Yes, but why did he murder Lisa?
Oh, well, if you recall all those weird shots that we had in the sunlight, which you do because you mentioned them, they were there to alert you, the watcher, to the fact that sometimes the sun gets in your eyes. Makes it a bit hard to see. So if William had come straight from a darkened corridor into a room with bright sunlight coming down at exactly 3:10 p.m., which is the time that they're all gathered in room 502 now because we know the sun doesn't change day to day. Well then, he says, flourishing the windows open, you can't really make out details.
So he could see a sort of woman's figure on the balcony. And he fired his...
And he just fucking shot her.
Fucking shot her with a spear gun, committed murder, and she fell to her death, but she was already dead by the time she hit the ground because she was shot in the heart.
Yep.
That's very poignant for a bride, isn't it?
That is actually very poignant, yeah.
And then later, because he was in love with her, but he couldn't have her because she had a boyfriend, and also he thought she was sleeping with guests in the rooms, and he didn't like that because he's obsessive about his job.
But also obsessive about Margaret.
Yeah. So later he strangled her. A really sort of artless murder.
I was wondering if the gloves would come into the strangling as well, but no.
I mean, I guess there wouldn't have been bruises of his fingerprints on her neck, which is a thing that I think happened in a Phoenix Wright game once.
Well, there you go.
Yep. And he used the spear gun specifically to incriminate Stefan because he was bitter about being not jilted, because that implies there would ever be a chance.
I was also going to say jilted, yeah. But yeah.
And then Camille is like, you did it because women always overlook you, and you've never been loved, and you're a really orderly person, and you hate the world can't be orderly like you want it to be. And then she goads him into strangling her, and Richard beans him with a cocktail shaker.
Because why the fuck not?
Case closed.
Done and dusted.
We get a little scene, which is common in these sort of shows, where Camille and Richard are walking along the beach, sort of debriefing each other. Yeah.
She's trying to get... is that funny? Because she's trying to get him to take her his pants.
I guess so, yeah.
It's funny.
But not ha-ha funny.
No, just like, oh, you did a wordplay. Yeah, basically, she's like, oh no, come into the water, it's so beautiful. And he's like, oh,
we're on duty, I'll step on a sea urchin, I'll get eaten by a shark.
And then he goes inside, takes his shoes off, determinedly rolls up his pants, goes back into the ocean, steps on a sea urchin.
Before he does that, though, he's sort of like gloomily filling out paperwork.
Like a dickhead.
In his house. I was really disappointed that he ended up going back in, because I was starting to evolve a theory that he can't swim.
Oh my god, that would be amazing.
Because last episode, when they all swam after Camille when she was undercover, he didn't swim after her, he just got in the boat.
He did, yeah. Although I suppose, like, a lot of English people don't learn how to swim.
Yeah, and he did only go up to, like, his ankles, so maybe he still can't swim. But
maybe
he doesn't at least melt in water.
No, he's not the Wicked Witch of the East, West, Southeast.
All right.
Yep.
So, case closed.
Case fucking closed.
What did your mystery envelope say?
Well, 32 minutes in, I said it was the butler because his gloves didn't leave fingerprints.
Shit, dog. Nice work.
What was your... Okay, now you told me that yours was very elaborate, so I'm very interested.
Mine was tough. I had a real hard time with this one. I overlooked so much obvious stuff.
I know. That's why I messaged you, and I was like, I'm only 26 minutes in. Yeah. Like, there must be a massive plot
twist. I waited until 45 minutes, 6 seconds, which is when he had the...
Oh, my God.
Had the inference about the sunlight, and then I paused it because, like, okay, I'm about to get all the info. I have to guess now. So what I came up with, which is just so far off the mark, is that there was a conspiracy wherein Diana paid Margaret and Stephen to get her into the empty room, which Stefan was already in, and then he shot her with the spear gun, and then he left in the dining cart, in the maid cart, through the elevator.
Oh my god, yes. That's very funny. I love that.
And the reason that they did that was because she was having an affair with the best man, and that wouldn't stand? I don't know.
Yeah, I found it hard to figure out a motive.
Yeah.
So I just didn't write
it down. Yeah, they briefly questioned whether or not she was having an affair with the best man, but that didn't pan out.
Yeah.
So, next part of the show, hot case, cold case.
I feel like we've got everything we could possibly get out of this show.
You think so?
But, yeah, what do you think?
You know, initially I'm inclined to agree.
Oh,
but
God.
After your reaction last week, I started wondering, what could I say to make you want to do another week? So, yes. Having seen the next time preview, this is my attempt. Next week episode features voodoo, and we haven't done any supernatural mysteries yet.
Oh, now we have to watch it.
And also, it's voodoo on an island, and it's like Weekend at Bernie's 2.
Okay, you got me.
Do you want to?
You got me in for another week. I do. I want to know about that voodoo.
Voodoo?
All right, me do.
Do what?
Rhyme people of the babe.
Dance, magic, dance.
Yeah, it was very well executed.
We got there.
Good job. We did it. Now, mystery of the week time. What are we investigating this week?
I don't know. You tell me.
Well, this week we're investigating whether Banksy, the artiste, is actually Neil Buchanan from Art Attack.
British children's art show.
Beloved children's art show.
Ask yourself this. Are all Banksy things art attacks?
That's a good point that I had not considered, to be fair.
So why are we discussing this crazy idea?
Because Dave Callan put it on his Facebook, I'm assuming.
I don't know who that is.
He's an Australian comedian. Okay, I popped up in my newsfeed after you suggested it, and I was like, oh, cool.
Okay.
But no, why? You're the one that suggested it. Why are we talking about it?
Well, I saw a news article saying Neil Buchanan, woman snaps photo of Banksy, and it's Art Attack artist Neil Buchanan. But then whenever I tried to click that article or other articles that I Googled, it would not load.
Me too, which means I think yes.
Okay.
Because that's too much of a coincidence that two of us in different countries with different internet providers could not open a single fucking article about this.
I also found it on the Reddit, which is where they post, the Reddit where they post things that sound like they're from The Onion but aren't.
I also read that because I was like, Reddit comments going to be good. No comments. No comments.
Da-na-na, who doesn't want us to talk about this?
It's Neil Buchanan.
Follow the money.
Obviously. And the money's with the Beeb. Oh my God.
Justin Bieber?
No, the BBC. Oh, right.
Did we do the same thing last week?
Did the BBC do Art Attack?
Probably.
Yeah, we did. Okay. But you said the Beeb and I got confused. So I was like, well, we've established that you call it the Beeb. Did they do Art Attack though? Or was it like someone
I don't know
else?
Who else in the UK makes TV? Dave?
Oh, so many people. ITV? Channel 4?
Isn't Channel 4 a BBC thing? Like BBC 4?
Fuck, I don't... No, because I think Bake Off has gone to Channel 4 and it's, so it's not going to be on BBC. So it's a whole scandal.
I'll see if that article will work now.
Oh my God, it was ITV.
Dun dun, the plot thickens.
Okay, well, yeah, now I think it's definitely... Because, yeah, I guess Art Attacks, I mean...
Oh shit, there's a Facebook page that 993 people like.
That's not that many,
Banksy
though.
Banksy
like,
is
when
Neil
did...
Buchanan from Art Attack. Statuses include, like, honestly, what is Banksy doing these days? Talk to the Banksy. Bring me the head of
He's
the
taking
head.
His money straight to the Banksy.
PVA glue.
Is that the whole post just
in
PVA glue?
Letters. I love Some this. News reports are claiming that Banksy is actually none other than Rolf Wobbleboard Harris.
He's in jail, isn't he?
I hope so.
Yeah, me too.
There's still a Rolf Harris star on the Bassendean Walk of Stars or whatever.
I'm sorry, the what?
Okay, there's a street called North Road in Bassendean, and on that street they have some paving stones which are like plaques of celebrities that have come out of Bassendean or the nearby area.
Is he from Bassendean?
Or the nearby area.
I thought he was from the eastern states.
You were misinformed.
I was. Who else is on the Bassendean Walk of Stars?
No one I recognise. So the biggest name from Bassendean is famous pedophile Rolf Harris.
Good to know.
And now me.
Well, exactly. Up in the
We are getting sidetracked. Regan, who is Banksy?
It's Neil Buchanan. We just said this because they're stopping us from accessing internet articles to read about it, which means they don't want us to know.
It's still not loading.
Exactly. And it's not just one article. It's like every article about this. No one's commented on it on Reddit in 20 hours, which is insane. Definitely. Like, remember that time on Art Attack that he made like a big horse head out of mowing grass?
And then he put that horse head in a big paper mache bed.
Yeah, exactly.
That's an Art Attack.
He's the godfather. That's like literally an Art Attack, like when you hide a machete inside a paintbrush. What other ways could you Art Attack people?
You could like, spray paint their eyes.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
You could use...
Or you could pepper spray paint their eyes. Just really fuck them
any
up.
Any of a number of tools that you would use to make like lino cuts.
Ooh, yeah. Scalpels and shit. Yeah. Or you could put like a switchblade inside a...
Inside a painting, and then when they look at it, it stabs them.
Oh, that's good. Or you could make like an interactive art display, but... It electric shocks them
or you could
death.
Pretend to be one of those living statues or just a regular statue and then when they come near you, you murder them.
Ah, yeah, because no one will suspect you because you're a statue.
Yeah, and you just need to stay there forever.
At least until nightfall and then you make your
you
escape.
You need to be like an art gallery registrar or something beforehand and fill out the registration information for this new piece of artwork.
Yeah, that's true. No, but there's all street art and stuff. Like Regent's Park at the moment is full of weird sculptures and any one of those sculptures could be ready to Art Attack me.
Moral of the story is don't trust art or Banksy.
Absolutely. Sorry, did you actually have any evidence to or
no,
for
because
the
none
fact
of it will
that
load.
Banksy's new? Exactly! That's my point!
Okay, a journalist reckons he's figured out who Banksy case. Is and he's got a strong case. Let me skim this.
Okay.
Journalist Craig Williams reckons he's cracked it. Might be a collective of people. No, okay. That's not it.
This is all just great for when... What's happening? Why is my iTunes playing music? What did I do? Jesus Christ.
It's like a message being like... You know too much. Stop asking these questions.
Yeah, it was playing I Am Hip by Blossom Deary, which is definitely something Banksy listens to. Yeah, okay, so did you read that article? I did see
no,
a lot of stuff
I haven't
about
read
how...
the article because it won't load.
No, you said there was one where
a
journalist...
Yeah, no,
case.
That's nothing. That's just it thinks Banksy is a collective, which is obviously preposterous because no collective could perform that many art attacks.
Absolutely. What?
I mean, you can't just do an art attack. You need to have, like, the potential within you.
Oh, yeah. And there's not that many people who have the chutzpah to do an art attack.
Exactly.
I did read a lot of stuff that it's about... It's someone called, like, Rob Guggenheim or someone.
Of the... Like, that's a famous art gallery.
Maybe it wasn't Guggenheim, but it was something that sounded sort of like Rob Guggenheim.
Let me ask Jeeves.
Yeah. And someone was like, yeah, no, it is. It's sort of like an open secret because my mum knows his mum. And I was like... Oh, yeah, like Banksy's mum's like, oh, yeah, my son's Banksy. I'm so proud of him.
You know, I know Banksy's mum. And you know why?
Do you? Why?
Because I'm Banksy.
Oh, my God. And then I know Banksy's mum as well.
I just art attacked your mind.
You honestly did.
All right, you want to end this podcast?
Yeah, I feel like we should, yeah. So our theme music is In the Crowd by The Years. I have gotten our Twitter happening. It's one of my only joys in life is running the podcast Twitter. So pop on over to that. See the amazing banner I made. It is Mystery Twins DA. And if you want to email us, our email is MT Detective Agency. Because
hold that thought. The Ask Jeeves preview for this article on Esquire, Who is Banksy, begins with, scientists have used heat maps to confirm the true identity of Banksy.
Okay, I need to know more.
Let me skim this. Gunningham, that person you were talking about.
Yeah, I was close. Gunningham.
All right, continue. Twitter.
Yep, Twitter, email, we're around.
Hit us up. Give us a mystery to solve so we don't just spend 20 minutes talking about Banksy without actually talking about anything Banksy has ever done.
And also, probably don't trust us around art supplies ever in your life.
They're just murders waiting to happen.
Exactly. All right, well, until next week, friends, no yachts.
We're not really twins.